God has, well, first I give honor to the Lord. I give honor to my beloved wife on today, God, to each and every one of you in your respective places. God has given me the title on this morning, The Rock of Offense. And I'm going to be in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter on today. And so while I have you stand, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read this. Amen. 1 Peter 2, verses 6 through 9, and it reads, as the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show the others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Amen. This morning, I just thank God for his word. It's a double-edged sword. Amen. It's powerful. It's trustworthy. It's awesome. It's inspiring. Amen. I thank God for his word. And I had so many titles, y'all, and to be honest with y'all, I don't know which way I'm going with this sermon. I know it's going to be heavy. Amen. But I know that God is trying to, he's talking to somebody. Amen. And the crazy thing is, I fear that some that are not here, amen, that this word was for them and they not here on this Sunday. Amen. But you know, if they get to, I pray that it gets to them. So if you made up your mind to come to church today, then I know that you're here for a reason. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I said, I had this thought maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks ago, as I was riding to work, and I was playing my gospel music like I normally do. And the Lord just plainly said to me, you're not in your word as much as you should be. And so every morning since then, I have been putting on like letting the Bible, like a Bible app where it reads to me while I'm driving so that I get the word in on my way to work. Not no music, not no, you know, but the straight word. That I'm meditating on the word. And one of the devotionals or one of the meditations that I was listening to was called The Rock of Offense. And it was this scripture, it was 1 Peter 2. And I've been meditating on that for the last 2 weeks. And so I'm glad that you're here on today. And the way that I hope all this is going to tie together. I know the Holy Spirit is going to tie together, but I'm just trying to listen. But I had so many thoughts running through my mind with this sermon that I literally began to weep in my preparation. Amen. I literally began to weep in my preparation. And so for those who don't know, I know you say, you know, we have abbreviated the name of our church to 3PD, but it stands for prayer, praise, preach, and deliverance. And one of the things that the pastor always instilled, especially when we had visitors, she would stand up and she would say, we show love over here. That's what we do. That was the foundation of the church. We show love. So some of us have the church shirt, and on the back it says, show love, and then it says, serve God. Well, the serve God part came from me. There was a point in time when I thought I was ready to go off and start my own church, and the name of that church was going to be Cities of Refuge. So when you see that sign on the outside, you say, why we got court on the outside and 3PD on the inside? Well, there was a time when I thought I was going to go and start my own church, and the name of the church was going to be Cities of Refuge. Amen. And my task was, I told God that I just wanted to serve. But before my pastor passed, she said, I know that one day you're going to take the church from Americus. And she said, the only thing that I ask you not to do is to change the name. Just don't change the name. Whatever you do, don't change the name. Because God gave us that name. And so I began to wrestle. I said, well, God, I know that you gave me Cities of Refuge, but I want to honor my pastor. And she said, don't change the name. And so I started a nonprofit. I started CORE. And CORE has become our outreach ministry. So when you see Pastor T, when you see her doing meal plans, when you see Minister Tony doing tutoring after school, when you see Sister Esso with the daycare, all of that is a part of CORE. That's how we go out. That's how we choose to serve. Right? Not just going around carrying a Bible and throwing scriptures at people, but inserting ourselves in people's lives, in their children's lives, with the hope that they're going to ask us about the God that we serve, and we get to share that way. Because everybody might not make it into 3PD. Everybody might not join the church. But we can serve outside of the church. And so it's not surprising. I remember when Sister Fallon joined and when Sister Khadijah joined, and they just said, I just felt the love. Right? When I came in, I felt the love in the church. I felt the peace in the church. That was by design. That was what 3PD was always supposed to be, for us to show love. Right. But the part that I want to talk about today is the serving God part and how God shows up for us, the Cities of Refuge part. And so when God gave me that, it comes from Joshua 20. And it's this idea that if something happened to you, if you were running for your life, that you were only one day away from getting to a safe spot. And that's what I wanted this church. I wanted this church to be a place where we show love and people are only one day away. They are only one visit away. They are only one day away from being safe. From being safe, from being saved. That a person could escape the things that they did. That if you're running from your past, that if you're running from hurt, you were only one day away, one decision away. Because once you got to the City of Refuge, the thing that you had to do was cling to the altar. That you were only one day away from being safe. That you could escape the things that you did, not without consequence. There are always going to be consequences for the things that we've done in our past, but that does not mean that God can't save us. Because the thing about the Cities of Refuge is once they leaned on that altar, they had to remain in that place. You had to stay in that city until the high priest died. Well, I want to tell you that not only did our high priest die, so once the high priest died, you could go back to where you were from and you could move on with your life. Well, I want to tell you that our high priest has died and set us at liberty to go on with our lives despite our past, right? But he also rose again, meaning like you can go on with your life. And also because I rose again, you are always safe. No matter where you go, once you have Jesus, you're always safe. So this show love and this serve God thing has been the driving force in my life for the last 20 years. I want to show love to people, and I want to provide a place of safety. But I wonder how many of us realize the ways that God has been loving us and keeping us all these years. In the way that God has been loving us, in the way that God has been keeping us, he's been keeping us as a twofold stumbling block. And this is the part where, this is the part that I literally have in my notes. This is the part of the sermon that's hard for me to articulate. So Holy Spirit, please help me. God has been keeping us as a twofold stumbling block. And so I did not know that my daughter was going to testify this morning. But what she was expressing to you, those emotions that she was expressing to you, is exactly what I was feeling when I was preparing this sermon. She said, I got this call to go do something that I had no idea how to do. And then she went on to say, we need Jesus. He is a strong foundation. He does not waver. That foundation, that thing, that Jesus that she is describing is the same stone, is the same cornerstone that I'm talking about this morning. I begin, and this is the part I told y'all that as I was preparing this, I began to weep. Because I began to think about all the places that I have been in the last 20 years as I have dedicated my life to showing love and serving God. And I say that knowing sometimes I didn't want to show love. Or sometimes I didn't even know how, God, how do you want me to serve? I don't know how to do this thing. I don't know what to do in this situation. Thank you, Lord. I began to think about all the places I've been over the last 20 years. And as I began to think about those things, God said that was me. It was not you. So for the last 20 years, God said to me, I need you to know, as I was weeping and I was thinking these things, I'm going somewhere. He said, that was me. That was me. That was not you. And the thing is, I don't know if some of y'all recognize him or me. What you mean, Pastor? Do you realize I was there, talking about me, your pastor, I was there and I'm here today because he wanted me to be there. And he wants me to be here. Not because I want to, not because I know what I'm doing, but because he wanted me there. And the part that made me weep, it's going to make sense in a minute. The part that makes me weep because I was thinking about y'all. When I say the last 20 years, I've been through some stuff. And if you know me, if you've been around me for a long time, please tell me when you've seen me crack. Please tell me when you've seen me fall. Please tell me when you've seen me turn around. Please tell me when you've seen me walk away from God. Please tell me when you haven't seen me be consistent. But in all those things, God said, that was not you, that was me. He said, I was the consistent. I was holding you up when you wanted to quit. I was giving you the answers and the wisdom when you didn't know what to do. When people was at your house and they get the phone call that their daddy is gone. That was me giving you the words. That was me walking you through that. When you got the call on your job that somebody is under a bridge and they want to lose their life and you leave your job to go stand in the gap, God said that was me, not you.
Hallelujah.
When you walking with people through abortions, when you walking with people through divorce, when you walking with people through jail, when you showing up holding people at 12 a.m. because they daddy just died. And the sister can't call the other sister. And you gotta make the call. God say that was me, not you. And God say, I don't know if they recognize you or me. He say, I don't know if they recognize that I had you there for me. I don't know if they recognize when they saying, God, where are you? I'm saying, I got my son right here. I have my son, I have my servant right here to hold your hand, to let you yell and to let you scream and to let you be angry. And he has his arms around you for me. So whatever good you have seen in me, it has always been him. Hallelujah. Whatever good you've seen in me, I want this sermon to erase any doubt in your mind. I'm just a man. I want this sermon to erase any doubt in your mind that he's real. When you pull up to my house unannounced and I open the door for you and we invite you in, that's because of him. That's him showing you that somebody is available, that he is available. When you feel like, God, I don't know how to get to you, he says, I have someone standing with you. Let this erase any doubt in your mind. Hallelujah. It hasn't been me. It's been him. He's a cornerstone. He has been the thing making everything in my life straight for the last 20 years, right? He's been the thing making everything in my life straight for the last 20 years so that you have something to lean on. If you just tried to lean on me, both of us gonna end up on the ground. But I'm standing on him. I'm standing on him so that somebody in here can have something to lean on until you're strong enough to stand for somebody else, until you're strong enough to take the call, until you're strong enough to go and to pray for somebody who is contemplating suicide. But she'll tell you before she got there, for 2 years, just sitting up under. When she getting thrown out the house and daddy's no longer there, she has somewhere to run to. Not because of me, not because of Pastor T, but because of the Lord. But because of God. We need to repent. We need to repent. We need to say, God, I'm sorry for doubting you. We spent so much time thinking about everybody who walked away and not enough time about the people who stood there. We get stuck in the past about who hurt us. And we carry that for the last 20 years. But do you realize who was on the phone with you when you was going through the divorce? I done seen some things. Not even being able to really mourn your grandmama, because you got to do the funeral or you got to be the one to pray. Right? Well, you got to be the one to work. Think about who who was actually there. We so many times we thinking like we went through something alone. Jesus is a rock of offense. 2 Peter tells us that he is a stumbling block. Before salvation, he was a stumbling block to me, as described in verse 8. He was the stone that was making me stumble. He was the rock that was causing me to fall. Anything I put my hand to, it would not work. When I wasn't paying my tithes and offering, he was that stumbling block that would not allow me to pass my certification test to become a teacher and get full pay. Because he couldn't trust me with the little substitute money I was making. How was he going to teach me? How was he going to trust me with the teacher pay? Right. He was a stumbling block that was making all those relationships and all of those women I was sleeping with and those things I was doing fail. Because he knew that if that went on with those relationships might destroy me. And he didn't want me stuck in those. He was making me fail because I chose not to obey the word of God. And the things that was happening to me was because that was the fate that was planned for me. But after salvation, Jesus became a different type of stumbling block to me. He became the type of stumbling block that's described in verse 6 and 9. When it says that he's a cornerstone, that he was chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will not be disgraced. He became that stumbling block that made me realize that I am a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that I belong to him, that I am his very possession. And as a result, he taught me that I can tell others about the goodness of God because he brought me out of the darkness into the marvelous light. You're going to stumble in one or two ways. You're going to stumble because you choose not to obey God, or you're going to stumble because you know what God has done for you, and when you get ready to mess up, he trip you and make you realize, like, hold on now. Do you remember what I did for you? And so in the times when I didn't know what to do, when the times I didn't know how to pray before I could get in myself, I felt that feeling of being unworthy and incompetent, and that was Jesus being a stumbling block. That was him tripping me up so that I would slow down and I would rely on him to give me the word. Some of us trying to run a race so fast that God have to trip us. He has to trip us to say, slow down and remember that I am the cornerstone, that I am the one making everything straight. And that's why I say he's been a twofold stumbling block to me. Before salvation, he was making me stumble because I wasn't right. He says, I'm not going to bless you. I'm not. So all these people telling y'all going to be blessed and you get to live any type of way? You better know where that's coming from. The devil don't care nothing about giving you money. The devil don't care nothing about giving you a job. The devil don't care nothing about you being in a relationship. You can have all of those things because none of them things going to save your soul. You think it because you had those things that you are blessed? No. He don't care about none of those things. True blessings come from the Lord. And God is not going to truly bless you until you surrender. He's going to forever be a stumbling block in your life. You're going to only be able to get so far. And then it's going to seem like the door gets closed in your face. And while you're trying to figure out why that's happening to you, Pastor is telling you today, Jesus is a stumbling block.
He refuses to bless you while you're in error, because all that's going to happen is if he blesses you and allows you to walk in error, you're going to think you are right. You're going to get to the gates and realize that you're not all right. What type of God would lie to you and tell you you are right when you're not? That's not love. So it makes you stumble. Stumble don't mean, you know, you can stumble like trip, or you can stumble and fall all the way to the ground. Right? And it's depending on what he's trying to save you from. Most of the time when we find ourselves all the way down on the ground, but we still alive, you had that big stumble because he's trying to get your attention. He got to make you fall all the way to the ground because you probably didn't pay attention to how rocky the road was. You just tripping and running and stumbling, but you still trying to run. You still trying to run. You still won't slow down. But there's going to come a time where it's going to be something. Jesus is going to be so big in your life that you fall all the way down. And then when you're on the other side, he won't let you fail. The word says, he says, I am placing a cornerstone chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Minister, you, when you are doing the Lord's work, you can't mess up. There's no way to minister wrong. There is no way. The word says that love covers a multitude of sin. There is no way you can mess up being there for somebody. When God is on your side, there's no way you can mess that up unless you ignore Jesus. I have realized that I have only been able to be the person that I am today. It's because he has been making me stumble when I'm either in error or making me stumble to prevent me from falling in error. Either way, it's because he loves me. It's because he loves me. He is a good God, but we will continue to stumble over and over and over again. But the question is, what type of stumbling is it? Why are you stumbling? Is it because you refuse to obey? Or is it because you headed towards something and you're getting ready to make a mistake? And he's trying to save you from the mistake. You thinking you all right. You on this Christian journey and you just know it all. And you thinking it's like you all right. And you saying, God, you know, well, what's up? I'm living for you. I'm doing all that I can. What's up? He's making you stumble so that you won't make a mistake. Please know today that Jesus is a stumbling block. And there is no way around him at any point in your life. There's no way around him at any point in your life. You can't think that if I do this, if I live for him for 20 years, eventually it's going to get easier. I don't know if y'all remember the sermon. If y'all remember the sermon, I was saying, you know, I was riding past the daycare and I saw my daughter-in-law get out of the car. And I said, I got a daughter-in-law. And I started to think about my son and I was like, it never stops. That's the sermon where I say it's never going to be a time when it's all good. And as we stand here today and she grieves the loss of her grandmother, that's exactly what I was talking about. It does not stop. So when she hurts and my son hurt, now I hurt. Y'all, do y'all understand what I'm saying? Jesus is always going to be there. And there is no way, and there is no easy fix or no quick fix to life. You either going to have to, you got to get right with God to be right. So if you're searching for that magic thing If you're searching for that magic thing, and if you're just saying that if I can just get this job, if I can just get this money, if I can just get this, when you get it, you're still not going to be satisfied. Jesus is always going to be a stumbling block because anything that you put before him is an idol. He never, so no matter how much you get, it'll never be enough. It will never be enough. So I want to close with this. I tell y'all, this sermon was kind of all over. Don't get ready to come in here, Brother John. So on last Sunday, the Lord led me to baptize on next Saturday. And so I say this same baptism, that baptism is a sign. It's a confession of your new life in Christ. When you go down in that water, you are saying that the old you has been buried. And when you come out the water, you're saying that you're a new creature, that you are alive again, that you've been born again. It's an outward sign of what you have confessed with your mouth and your heart when you say, Lord, come into my life and save me. And I need y'all to know that when you go down in that water and you come up again, that does not mean that everything in your life is about to be easy. I challenge you, because when you go in that water and you come up, Jesus is getting ready to be magnified in your life. And you are going to start to see all the ways that you are in error. You're going to see just how big of a stumbling block Jesus is. Like, whoa, I've been going about this thing the wrong way. And you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to say, do I choose to keep disobeying what the Lord is telling me to do? Or do I live for Jesus and I do the hard thing because it's the right thing? Do I do that thing even though I don't know how to do that thing? Do I say the tough prayers? Do I have the tough conversations? Do I give when I don't have? Do I show up even when I don't feel like it? Do I be consistent? Do I show up and go where I never thought I would be? Do I show love and serve God? Even though sometimes I don't know how I'm even going to make it myself. That's what it means to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. When you go down in that water, Jesus is going to stand up straight. You'll never be the same. It ain't that when people got baptized before, they didn't know what they were doing, or God went there, or something was wrong with it. No, life started lifing. Life started lifing. It wouldn't have because you got baptized by the wrong pastor. God don't need none of us. I just told y'all, everything that I've been doing for the last 20 years has been him. It's the sincerity of your heart. It's according to your faith. No, life just, you got baptized and life started life, and you chose the easy way to keep doing what you've been doing. Because you can't just get baptized and think it's going to change. You're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make a choice. And there's no way around it. Jesus is a rock of offense. The things that God asks you to do will offend you. They're going to offend you. Forgive? I'm offended, God. I ain't even do nothing wrong. Forgive? Give? Give? Give to who? Show up for who? The people that don't show up for me? Be consistent for who? The people who not consistent for me? Come on, man. You gotta choose for you, not for other people. You gotta choose what kind of life you wanna live. Do you wanna show love? Do you wanna serve God? You gotta choose what type of life you wanna live. And you can't expect nobody to go with you. You can't expect nobody to go with you but you. Not your wife, not your children, not your co-workers, not your best friend. You gotta be able to go by yourself if you have to.